This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. If you're a fan of MPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
John Clark Ross,
Alison Milden,
and I'm Stuart Burks.
Now, John, you've been very heavily involved with a lot of local writers and writing activity in New Zealand in general.
Well, as I said, I was going to say, in the last few years, I've been writing articles for a website called Literary Encyclopedia about New Zealand writers. And other people had started it, but there was still an awful lot to be done. And I've written so far 26 of them. And I'm working currently on Elizabeth Smither. Mm. Now, it's interesting that we were talking while we were not recording about changing names. Mm. Now, her father's name was Edward Russell Harrington, but his father's name was Edwin Carnival Harrington, for goodness sake. Mm. And they were living at Otautau in Southland. And when Elizabeth was born, Elizabeth Smither, as she now is, she was Elsie Edwina Harrington, hence her nickname Harry. Mm-hmm. But she, subsequently, she changed her name from Elsie to Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Because she had in mind various heroines who were Elizabeths, mm-hmm. such as Elizabeth in Pride and Prejudice, and Queen Elizabeth and others, and her father changed his name from Edward to Edwin, so there we are. Mm. So that was quite odd, and of course she married Michael Smither, so she became Elizabeth Smither. So there's a kind of euphony there.
Yeah,
I guess, but Elsie is an odd kind of name. Mm. But and her mother came from a small town called Ooze in Tasmania. Well, I suppose you'd call it a village. And
there's a number of sisters. In Yorkshire, yeah.
Oh yes, well of course there's a river Ooze,
yeah.
which goes near York.
Yeah.
But so. I guess she would have made a number of trips to Australia and say, and to Tasmania to stay with her various aunts, of which there were six.
Was this in the 20th century? Or?
Oh yeah. She was born in 1941.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, this is all quite recent.
Yeah.
How do you choose? You've said 26 you've done.
Well, in a sense, of course, and. I started with somebody who was I did a master's thesis on. It was A.R.D. Fairbairn, Rex Fairbairn, and I felt there were small things I'd like to do with him, so I did an article, it's 2,500-3,000 words article and sort of subsidiary stuff like a list of recommended reading. And then sort of it's took off from there. Mm. But
so are New Zealand writers somehow distinctive compared to American or English or Australian writers?
Well, I think so, yes, of course they are. They're very inclined to take their models on and overseas writers as well as from other New Zealand writers, because I mean they were for quite a while there wasn't much of a tradition of New Zealand writing. It really started, got some traction from 1945 onwards.
Okay, because there's literary magazines here, aren't there?
There's a reasonable number, but somebody like the Smith Spinner get poems published in Australian magazines and English ones like PN Review or Times Literary Supplement, or even American Review. Submit stuff and you hope they'll publish it, and maybe they do.
Yeah. So when you say New Zealand writers, are there many who are sort of, they were born in New Zealand and spent all their writing lives in New Zealand, or did many go overseas to develop
for a while there was quite a tradition of New Zealand people starting off as writers in New Zealand and going off and becoming expatriates and some of them came back and some of them didn't. Dan Davin never came back, and John Mulgan, of course, was working with Oxford University Press. He then got caught up in the war, and he was in Greece, and at the end of it, at the end of the war was over, he committed suicide, John Mulgan. But his book Man Alone is generally thought to be the first really substantial series all the way through New Zealand novel, and which is not to say that there weren't others before that, but which has some merit. But that job, Man Alone, stands pretty serious.
Yeah. Is there a thriving New Zealand writers scene, or does it nurture the writers well? Do you think?
It depends where you live.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Miller is living up in New Plymouth, and there's David Hill living in New Plymouth. There's another quite good writer, Rhonda Bartle, who's there. There are other artists who are not writers, but other kinds of art, and they sort of support each other.
So as a community.
So it's not just writers, but the other people that can work with.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth Smither has done quite a bit of work with with the photographer Jane Dove Juno, and produced a wonderful book called The Sea Question, which is where she picked Jane picked out Elizabeth's poems that she wanted that sort of rang a bell or something with her, and then she matched them with photos, some of which she had, some of which she went and hunted out for an image which she could photograph. Yes.
So it's a beautiful book. Are local writers acknowledged locally, or do they need to have success overseas first before?
Well, the trouble is will New Zealand readers buy books by New Zealand writers? And on the whole, they won't.
I have to say, I have huge difficulty with New Zealand writers.
Can you say that more about that?
I don't relate to them. It's interesting. It's a little bit like theatre. New Zealand productions. I just find them over pushing some kind of Kiwi thing that just does not relate to me. And I find it interesting now. Sometimes on a Sunday morning, I think it is, before 7 o'clock, they have children's stories.
Yeah, yes.
They just feel so far removed from anything that relates to me.
Is that the writing peculiar, or the reading? Because the reading style sometimes on New Zealand radio.
Yeah, yes. It whether I can say that they sound like they're trying too hard to do something that doesn't relate to me.
Well, I think to a couple of the most impressive New Zealand writers at the moment are Witty Himaira,
yes,
and Patricia Grace.
Yes.
And
but I suppose it's
and they're very much in the Maori field.
Yes, I suppose perhaps I'm what would be described as an Anglophile. I relate hugely. I go to Britain. I feel different. I relate differently. I have a sense of thrill and excitement.
You've gone home.
Yes, truly, that I never get returning to the country of my birth and young life. It's extraordinary, I know. I mean, I even went through a phase, literally, of the plain woodland at Heathrow.
Oh, yeah.
In those days, you didn't go on escalators and stuff. You got off the plane and you might get on a bus or something that took you to the terminal. I'd look out the window as we came over the English landscape. My heart would soar. My stomach would clench. And I'd get off the plane and quite literally I could have got on my knees and kissed the ground. I just do not get that for where I come from.
Well, I don't feel like that. I had 8 years in England.
Yes.
And all those 8 years I felt I was camping.
Oh. I can fully understand.
Yes, and I had
lots of people I know and travelled with and the same.
Yeah. Because I've spent a lot of time in the hills in New Zealand.
Yes. I love all that.
And on the beaches and so forth.
Yes.
That's what I relate to.
The New Zealand landscape, I mean, I fought tooth and nail for a little piece of landscape that we've lost in this territory.
That's because of the wind farms on the ranges.
Yeah, but now
the piece
that we saved from wind turbines has just been planted in pine trees, which I just find devastating.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
that. Yeah. And so it's not that I don't connect to the landscape and the beauty and that I have family here and friends here.
You like the depth of history and the traditions in the UK?
My heart simply does not surge. In fact, I return to this country and feel despondent because I see it following all the things that you might have observed as having been a problem or had their day in another country.
We're sort of the generation, I don't know if younger people would say it now, but there was the idea that New Zealand is like Britain 20 years earlier,
I think it's, I see that New Zealand had such opportunity and all the things we squander.
Well, I think we've still got opportunity but one of the things, of course, is that you in a large country, you have to do one thing and in order to count at all. But here you can do quite a few things. I mean, I've always been interested in acting. And when I was young, we had there was a lady called Joy Taylor who got us to act little plays she wrote or sing little songs that she wrote, and we went and sing them on the children's program and when I was in England I got teaching in a drama school. I was there for 4 years to Rosebery for College of Speech and Drama, which is in Sidcup in Kent, so it was rather nice actually going out of London to to a much less dense area and open. It was so that the actual building was in a park, Lammerby Park, and that was good. I was there, and of course I got into, although I was teaching any kind of literature, I also got involved in acting. Students who were training as actors and who were pretty much ready to be articulate.
And how old were they?
These were tertiary students.
Oh,
yeah. This was tertiary outfit.
Yeah.
So they'd all, yes. So I came back to New Zealand and got involved in Massey Drama and the Manawatu Theatre Society, and I acted. I was home here. I was home. Mm. I mean, and the odd thing was that after being away for 8 years, and Palmerston North felt more like Wellington as it had been when I'd left it, than the Wellington which it then become, which became a car transport city and so forth. Yeah, and it was, walked into a shop and there's a Chinese guy at the green grocer shop. He said, "Good as gold," and I said, "God, I'm home."
Yeah.
Yeah, but and so I got the job teaching at Massey because I could teach drama, and which I did, and of course that was a certain amount of and dominance of Shakespeare, of course, I directed several Shakespeare plays, but I also directed some New Zealand plays, and some one act plays as well for the one act play fit competitions. Yes, so that was good, I wrote a couple of little plays for kids, all for my church. So that was one, lovely being somewhere else.
Yes.
Very liberating, eh?
I was played a part in one of the things that you directed.
You did indeed. You did indeed. You bless your cotton socks. Yes. But I was teaching literature at Massey for English literature in English and from various players, and but also drama.
How did New Zealand students take to Shakespeare?
Well, they got a lot of it.
Yes.
I did Twelfth Night for a whole year, a little slim volume.
Oh, yeah.
A whole year in the fourth form.
Yes. The music be the foes of love, play on.
Oh,
give me excessive.
So much so. I can't remember a thing.
Let's ever sing the Abbot. Ever tie up my own linger and so die. Yes.
Oh, dear.
God, yes. Oh, well, there we are. I directed Twelfth Night.
Yeah.
It was not one of my better productions, unfortunately. Mm. I think I did some very good ones, but that wasn't one of the better ones.
It is interesting.
Because I was trying to do things which I didn't quite work, but I kept on trying to do them, trying to hope they would work, yeah.
I found it interesting I was in a Shakespeare school play 50 odd years ago. Yes, but and there we did it sort of as a play. But I remember sort of when I was young, there was probably the view Shakespeare is on a pedestal, and so if you're acting Shakespeare, there's some great significance to the words. Whereas more recently, it's far more, this is a play. It was done to entertain the public and the rabble in the pit and so on. And suddenly, the meaning comes through a lot clearer the way it's acted.
Oh, sure. Well, but I mean, the thing was that you have the Shakespeare text, but what they actually acted was probably hacked and slashed.
A load of impromptu stuff thrown in.
With a bit of an impromptu as well,
Yeah.
Especially the clown was inclined to to throw in his own stuff and get it, and to the actual rage of the poor playwright.
Yeah.
But
do you have any opinions on the value of live theatre as opposed to TV, cinema type drama?
Oh, God, yes. God, hell yes. The thing with acting is that you're connecting with the audience, and you're feeding each other. Mm. Their feeding is silent, but when the thing is really working, their attention is feeding you, and you're feeding them, and you're connecting.
Yeah,
that's.
And the actors are connecting with each other too.
They're with each other. Sure. But you've got to. There's all the difference between a rehearsal and working with a live audience, or just acting to a camera, which is rubbish for me.
Yeah, New Zealand audiences are. Well, I'm thinking more perhaps to music performance, but aren't they noted for being relatively unexpressive?
They don't need to express it. You can feel it.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't need to express it. Don't be open. Don't make noises. You can feel it.
Just thinking, all my bad vibes.
you can feel it. You can, because
So it's not that New Zealand's so bad for you, Alison. And it was Alison Milden who was so critical of New Zealand earlier. But
Oh, yes.
But it's not that New Zealand's so bad. It's just that they sense the vibes from you. Feedback.
I'm quite prepared to admit.
Yes, well,
I
spent years being a reviewer for Centrepoint Theatre and sometimes a bit critical of them. Yeah. Tried not to be, but sometimes it was, and it was perhaps a bit unfair. Yeah.
I did see one play performed there that was a Yorkshire play. I think it was people from Yorkshire who went on a holiday in Paris, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But in Yorkshire, the whole idea, if you're good friends, then you can say all sorts of things to each other, knowing that they won't be offended, and it's almost a competition who can come out with the wittiest sort of put downs and so on. So someone flexes a muscle, look at these muscles, and they respond, oh, I've seen bigger knots in cotton or something like that. And this script was all very witty repartee, but for some reason the director or the actors were taking it literally and thought these are people arguing with each other. So it's actually...
Oh dear.
It just came through.
So they got it wrong. Got that wrong, yes. Well, that's right. Yes.
But is this... Now, I know they say with New Zealand artists, they do painting, and if you go to the UK early on, and they said, oh, those colours are all wrong because the light's different here.
That's right.
Is there something distinctive with the writing that makes it somehow different from other countries because of the nature of the culture?
Here's Keats's Ode to Autumn. Season of mists and narrow, mellow fruitfulness. Mm. Well, I've been in England, in that part of England, where Keats is referring to, but in East Anglia area and so forth, and it really is misty.
Yes,
but the autumn in New Zealand is not misty at all.
Yeah,
it's and we don't have thatched roofs. Mm. Through the thatch, we don't have thatch eaves and so forth. So that it's all it's a fine poem, but it's. It's nothing to do, nothing at all to do with the New Zealand autumn at all.
Yeah. So, do you see though in New Zealand writing? Could you pick up something and say, "Oh, that seems very New Zealand"?
I should think so. Yes. I think so. Yes. Here's Dennis Glover saying it. I do not dream of Sussex Downs or quaint old England's quaint old towns. I dream of what may yet be seen in Johnsonville or Geraldine. At Plymouth, the little penguins play. And one dead albatross was found at Carriana Bay.
And then there was that short, probably a magazine piece describing the typical New Zealand novel or something. There was a thing, and here's the Maori story, and here's the identify this?
Well, of course, the trouble, of course, is that you have to be very careful if you're not Maori, dealing with Maori material. Very, very careful indeed. And you have to have it very... And if anything, it's better to stay away from it, because you'll get your... they'll say you've got it wrong. But of course, and somebody like Nehemiah or Patricia Grace or these others can do it so much better.
Ah, here we are. Yeah, A.R.D. Fairbairn, the great New Zealand novel.
Oh, well, that was a parody thing. There.
Yes, oh, precisely. Oh. That's what I mean, the parody.
No, and he wrote it some time ago. He quite, yes. quite a while ago. And Fairbairn was just...
Perhaps I relate to it.
I mean, that article is a complete piss take.
Oh, hang on now. Is it that one? No, it's not. It's A.K. Grant.
A.K. Grant, well, again...
An inquiry into the construction and classification of the New Zealand short story.
What he will write is a piss take as well.
Absolutely. But it was actually quite
perhaps
entertaining.
Yes, A.K.
So, in fact, they've got. I'm looking at what's the Oxford Book of Humorous Prose, selected by Frank Muir, and he put two next to each other: the Fairbairn sketch plan for the Great New Zealand Novel and A.K. Grant, an inquiry into the construction and classification of the New Zealand short story.
Oh yeah,
the sensitive Maori kid who doesn't quite know what's going on short story, the ordinary Kiwi working bloke short story. Then, if you think you're depressed already, just wait till you read this, but it may help me to make some sense of my breakdown short story. The lovable housewife and mother coping with adolescent kids in the suburbs short story. Yes. The sub Catherine Mansfield at the Bay short story. Yes. Anyway. Okay.
Did you want more tea, John?
No, thanks. No.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.